Hello and welcome to the Learning to Mum podcast, a podcast dedicated to talking all things being a mum and all things being a female. The latter I feel much more qualified to talk about. I'm passionate about the honest accounts, the raw reality, and all the highs and lows that come with motherhood. So welcome to this podcast hosted by me, Kelly Beaumont. I'm so grateful to have you listening to me today. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to season 2, episode 7, I want to say, season 7, no, start again, season 2, episode 7, good, finally got there, of the Learning to Mum podcast. I am back this week with a bit of a kind of, I don't know, like pointed episode, I suppose, some like a specific topic that I wanted to share my experience on. I'm not even sure whether it's a topic, whether it's something that is, I don't know, out there. I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff on topics like this, but I haven't done reading, I haven't done any research. Quite frankly, I don't have the time. So I just kind of like to share these things with you as and when I experience them so that you too can just pop some headphones in and listen to somebody else's experience without having to do any research. And if you want to follow up and do specific research on what this stuff is, then by all means do. You'll have just heard a door close, I suspect, and you might hear banging on it. Yep, just on cue. Ophelia is particularly into closing every single door that we own. And also this morning and several other mornings has refused to go down for her morning nap. And when your child wakes up super early and then you don't get the reprieve, it's pretty tricky. So I'm in that process of navigating whether or not she's ready to drop her morning nap or whether her morning nap is too early. I don't know, figuring that one out as we go. So if you hear some heavy breathing in the background or murmurs or whatever else, that will be Ophelia, because it's just me and her today. So it's Sunday, 12th of September. It's actually my husband's birthday, but he is working today. And it's the first session of the next term's swimming. So I'm not entirely sure what we will be learning this term, but we decided to go back again for another term and just keep it going. We don't go to any other baby classes or any, you know, anything else where we have a commitment. But for swimming purposes, I mean, a lot of the time I feel like when we're in the pool and we're doing the sessions, I think, well, I could do this, or, you know, me and Charles could do this. But I like the structure of learning what safety stuff to do at what age. She's really confident in the water. I don't know if we'd have had that without the swimming lessons. We're about to have another door be closed, so my apologies if you hear it bang. I should point out that we do have little stoppers for the door, you know, to stop like trapped fingers and things like that. But because we've got cats, sometimes we need to close doors, so we take things off. And Ophelia never, I mean, I would never leave her unattended with a door like that, but she never puts her fingers in the way. She knows how to close a door without doing it dangerously. So she knows how to safely close a door, I think is the sentence that I was looking for. God. So yeah, back to what I was saying about swimming. Yeah. I just feel like it's that thing where you've got a bit of structure and it allows you to almost know like what she should be doing when and like the proper way of doing things. And I feel like swimming is such like an important life skill. It's certainly something that I have really valued in my time growing up, and I think the sooner that we started Ophelia the better. So anyway, long story short, we've decided to sign up to another term. It is pretty pricey. Sometimes we don't get to every session. That's quite frustrating, but just go with the flow. And it gives us something to do on our Sundays, particularly on days like today when Charles is working. It's nice for me and Ophelia to get out and do something. And also with like autumn round the corner, autumn, winter, the weather's only going to get worse. So having an activity where we go indoors, and we definitely know we're going to get a space. Like, I could go to the general swimming pool, but it could be mega busy. And anyway, I feel like I'm on commission for little swimmers or whatever it's called. Little fish. I have no idea. But, oh, water babies. Water babies. That's the one we're doing. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to come on and speak about. I wanted to talk about a topic that I feel we've just kind of organically done whilst Ophelia's been growing up. And it's something now I recognise to be serving us very well. And that's the topic of independent play. Now, I don't know whether I was super conscious of doing this when she was really little, but I know that I am not that kind of parent that just can be hands-on all the time, and I don't enjoy every single second of parenting. Like, sometimes I just need like time to myself. This morning is a classic example of where she's been full on for the past 3 hours, and it's intense. Like, it's really hard work when you're doing it independently. And I feel that I'm particularly like, I can be like really fun, but like anybody, you kind of reach your limit as to how much you can do and how much rolling about on the floor and things like that. So I recognize that I need reprieve. And in addition to that, I'm really interested in things like the menstrual cycle for women and our hormones and things like that. And if you are aware of my other business, my only business, this is just a podcast, but if you're aware of that, you'll know that I do kind of a lot of work around that. And I also recognize that at different points in my cycle, I parent very differently. I may have spoken about this before, but just to kind of reiterate that. So yeah, different points in my cycle, therefore on different days, and then at different points during the day, etc., I know that I need time to myself. It's something that I value. It's something that I crave when I don't get it. And I, you know, feel that it's something that, as an only child for 11 years, and well, all of my kind of young childhood, that was something that I just appreciated so much. Sorry, I think she's now craving her nap, but she's going to have to wait until we get into the car. So yeah, I am aware that that was something that I really valued. Anyway, so those two things combined led me to, I guess, parent subconsciously in giving Ophelia independent playtime. And what I mean by that is I will put her in her room, or I'll put her downstairs with her basket of toys or whatever, and I will leave the room and go do other things. So if we're downstairs and she's in the front room, I might go into the kitchen and wash the pots. I might cook the tea, although she tends to get involved with that because she can smell food, and this girl loves her some food. If I'm upstairs, I might leave her in her bedroom, come into our room, and I don't know, get into my pajamas, take my makeup off, whatever. These like little things where I can break off, go back and check that she's okay. But I make a real conscious effort to not ask her if she's okay. Like, I will just observe and make sure that, you know, she's not got anything that she shouldn't have, she's not sad, whatever. But I don't say to her, Ophelia, are you okay? Because I've recognized that when I do that, I draw attention to the fact that she's kind of by herself, or I draw attention to the fact that perhaps she might want to come with me. And actually, I think I don't want her to come with me. I want her to continue doing what she's doing because she's content and she's happy. What I've also recognized in these times is when I kind of observe her, she's kind of figuring these things out. So if she's got a toy, she might notice something else about the toy and curiously kind of start exploring it. She might find something else. I notice more than anything what she tends to do is go for her books and open the pages of her books and turn over the pages and touch the pages and point to the pictures. And I kind of just think, like, that's great that she just sits and entertains herself. And then when I was thinking about that the other day, I thought, well, that's something that we've always kind of done, just let her be by herself. And I wanted to share it because I think that there's this kind of pressure to continuously entertain or continuously be present or continuously be in the same room. And whilst I completely acknowledge that, you know, for safety purposes and things like that, there might be certain parameters. Are you talking? What? Yeah. There might be certain parameters that you want to put in place with that. But I still think that there's endless possibilities to you having some separate time. And as I said, it's for Ophelia's benefit, but it's equally for my benefit too, because I like a bit of time to myself. Furthermore, controversially, I will make myself a cup of tea and I will go and sit on the sofa and I will watch my program of choosing and I will allow her to continue to play on the floor and do her thing. And if she breaks off from what she's doing and she wants to come and sit on the sofa, or she, I don't know, is talking to me, I will pause the TV and have a conversation with her in whatever way you can have a conversation with a 13-month-old. So she knows that she can interrupt, but I respect her time to herself and I try to encourage her to respect my time as well. And I just wanted to kind of put that out there, like I said, because I feel that there's this kind of unwritten rule that you shouldn't do those things or it's not possible to do those things. And I just wanted to share my experience or our experience to say that that just simply isn't true. And as I said, the more I recognize that I can just look in on Ophelia, check she's okay without actually asking her, which tends to, as I mentioned, be the catalyst for her breaking off and coming in, you know, joining me, I just feel that that's just something that I wanted to talk about, because I guess I don't see that many people doing it, because obviously the only things that you really see are pictures of like when you're with your children and things like that. So it may well happen for people, but it might not be shared. I don't know. So I'm just talking about the benefits of independent play. And I think that that kind of variety, that flexibility is really beneficial for her. Furthermore, because she is going to be an only child, I've spoken about this quite openly, that we have no intention, no desire to try for any more children. I want her to be really comfortable with independent play before, like, she has to be in those situations, because as she gets older, you know, it's not going to be possible for me to be with her all the time, and nor will I want to be. And I'm sure nor will she want me to be. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of come on and share that and talk about the fact that that's what's happening for us. That's our choosing. I kind of instill that independence in other ways as well, as like with eating, and try to like encourage her to try the foods by herself. And before, I would like be apprehensive about putting her in her high chair whilst the food wasn't ready. But now I kind of talk to her while I'm prepping the food, and I might give her something to nibble on. Like this morning, she was holding some raspberries whilst I was making her breakfast. So just trying to encourage those moments where I'm not having to like entertain continuously, because I just do not have the capacity to do that or the desire to do that, quite frankly. So yeah, I think that that's pretty much all I want to say on that topic, because I'm guessing still figuring it out. I don't really know what it means. I don't really know like the longer term impacts of it, benefits, etc. But I just thought, as I always do on this podcast, just offer a bit of an update as to where things are for us. Oh, did you fall? Did you fall? Are you working out what you want to do about that? It's also happening now, right? Like, point in case in this episode, I'm just sat recording this in the bedroom, just sat on the bed, and Ophelia's on the floor, like going through the washing basket, like the clean washing, pulling it all out, much to I'm sure my husband's disgust if he was here. But not once has she really asked for me to interact in that time, and I've been recording now for about 15 minutes. So yeah, anyway, that's just another example of where you can just get on with things even with a little tiny human. And by the way, I'm not saying we've got this nailed by any stretch. There's times where I'm like, just go away because I need 5 minutes to myself. And she might not be in the right headspace for that independence. But it's something that we practice all of the time and we do every day. So I wanted to share it with you. Any further updates with Ophelia? So we've still only got two teeth, 13 months. However, she has got another one, like part broken through, next to her two bottom teeth. Nothing coming up at the top yet. I just think it's going to be one of those things where she is going to take a while to get her teeth coming through, which is fine, right? Food is still great. She's really enjoying all of her food and all the different things there, which makes me really happy because, yeah, we love food in this house and it just makes it so much easier when a child loves theirs as well. Sleep is kind of in peaks and troughs. Last night was a really good night. She only kind of stirred once or twice. The night before was horrendous. So it kind of seems to be doing that like up and down motion. What we tend to recognize is if she goes down absolutely fine without any real settling and we kind of put her in a cot and just leave her to it, that tends to signpost it's going to be a good night. Whereas if we put her in her cot at nighttime and she's crying and needs like settling, that tends to be an indication of a night that's going to be slightly trickier. We haven't found a rhyme or reason for that. It doesn't seem to matter how much sleep or little sleep she has through the day. We max it at probably about 2 hours sleep all day. That's all she seems to want. If she gets any more than that, which is rare, or any less than that, that honestly doesn't seem to have a bearing on what happens at bedtime. So it's really tricky to know what causes her to be a certain way over another, and I guess it's just continuing to figure that out. Bless you. And I think that's pretty much it to update on at this moment in time. I'll just keep dropping in these kind of smaller episodes as and when things come to my mind or there's something that I want to share. But I will leave it there. We need to get in the car. I'm going to let her have a little bit of sleep if she chooses to have it. I tend to make a bottle for her in moments like this, like when we're traveling in the car and I know that she's going to want something to like tide her over. We still keep on with the milk, the Kenda mill that we're using. So I will give her 2 scoops of milk to 4 ounces of water. And when we're probably about 10 minutes away. What? I'm talking. Am I talking? Yeah. We're going in a minute. Yeah. When we're about 10 minutes away from swimming, I will just pass her bottle to her in the back of the car and she just feeds herself, which is super handy. So I am going to get going because we need to get there on time and we need to get her changed. And now she's in her little swimming costume as opposed to like her swim pants, which is cute. Obviously, she still has like a reusable nappy thing that we put on underneath, but that's pretty much all I need to update you guys on at the moment. Have a lovely week or weekend depending on when you listen to this. As ever, I hope that parenting is going well for you. If you're in those early stages, I hope you're doing okay. If you're in the process of trying to conceive, if you're listening back to this as a parent from like an parent to all the children now, I hope you nod your head along to this. And if you are a dad or a caregiver or just generally curious about this kind of stuff, thank you very much for listening, and I will speak to you all in the next episode. Bye bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Learning to Mum podcast. I hope you found it somewhat insightful, or it gave you a little bit of insight into the reality of being a mum. You might be able to hear Ophelia in the background saying goodbye too. If you want to hit subscribe, that would be really appreciated, and it'll mean that as new episodes are launched, they'll drop straight into your preferred listening. So, I'll see you all next week. Have a good one. Bye.